Welcome to the TeacherCast Educational Network, coming to you from the TeacherCast studios since 2011. Join us each week as we bring you the latest educational news, edtech updates, and hottest interviews with today's most influential leaders in education. And now, for your host, Jeff Bradbury.
Everybody, and welcome to the TeacherCast Educational Network. My name is Jeff Bradbury. Thank you so much for joining us today and making TeacherCast your home for professional development. In this episode of the Jeff Bradbury Show, we are going to unlock all of the secrets for building your EDU brand. We have a fantastic guest on. Not only is she a fantastic blogger, Pinterest user, but she is going to open up the entire playbook for how do you get onto Google, how do you grow a YouTube channel, and how do you build your brand through newsletters. If you're an author, content creator, podcaster of any kind, this is one that you definitely want to buckle up for. Take some notes, stick this in your AI machine. Definitely going to be putting the transcript of our show on our TeacherCast site. Definitely check this full episode out. If this is the first time you're listening to our show, thank you guys for being here. We've been doing this show for the last 14 years, and we are here to help you guys not only become the best educators you can in the classroom, but also help you guys figure out a way to create your own brand, whether it be an author, a podcaster, a writer, a blogger, a public speaker. This is a great way to do it. Hit that like and subscribe button. You can find us over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you guys are. And of course, the audio and video files are going to be found over on YouTube as well. Don't forget to head on over to TeacherCast.net. Lots of great stuff to check out. Thank you guys for making TeacherCast your home for professional development. My guest today is an amazing content creator, specifically talking about empowering people to build a brand and build a business. She has been featured in Business Insider, in Forbes. Her YouTube channel has exploded to having more than 150,000 subscribers. She loves helping everybody build sustainable online businesses, and she is on a mission to empower her followers to take control of their income and create the life that they love. I am thrilled to bring on today Miss Whitney Bonds. Whitney, how are you today? Welcome to TeacherCast.
Hey, love the intro. I'm so happy to be here.
I am excited to have you on. I have been a follower. I've been a subscriber, checking out all the great stuff. And you know what? One of the things that I'm excited to have you on is I really want to figure this whole entrepreneur, content creator, and I'm going to put you on the hot spot of how do teachers do it. But before we get into all the difficult stuff today, who is Whitney Bonds?
Yes, that's a great question. Who am I? I'm a wife first, and I'm a mother of three, and I'm also a content creator. And I love, I used to be the girl who was going to just climb the corporate ladder, work the 9-to-5 life, being that comfortable, you know, understanding of my plan for my life until I had my daughter and everything changed. Well, when I got pregnant. So we'll get into my story, but yes, I'm just a woman who, shouldn't be here, but I'm here.
And you mentioned that family, marriage, kids, that kind of took you into the, okay, I'm at home, something has to happen, right? I think even for teachers, that's a lot of what happens. It's the summertime, they've got a few extra hours in the day. Let's start something. So let's just kind of pick up there. What was the first thing that you decided to test out? Was it creating a video? Was it writing a blog? Because you got a lot of different things going on.
Yeah. So my first thing to just like, because you know, you always hear like, make money online. I made $10,000 in a day, kind of stuff like that. I'm like, sounds nice. How you do it? And one of the things that I wanted to just get my feet wet and make money online was I was looking, while I was still working my 9-to-5, I found this, I was looking for like a freelance position that I could do on Upwork because I saw that people were finding like, jobs on Upwork, just random jobs. And so I wanted to see, can you really make money online? And I needed to, you know, it would help to make more money, right? So I was looking on Upwork and I was, every single day, I was trying to find the perfect position because I couldn't do that much with a 9-to-5. So I was looking to see like, what was like some part-time that I could do on the side? And this perfect position came up. It was for 5 to 10 hours a week, $25 an hour. And they were looking for a marketing coordinator. No, I didn't have any like experience in this area. I was a marketing manager, but for what they wanted, I didn't have the experience for what they wanted. But I always say I have YouTube and I had Google, and that was all that I needed. So I applied. I was one of the first people that applied. Like, because I was checking every day, that's when I would just apply immediately. And long story short, I didn't have any references or reviews. So I told the woman that I would do the work for free for 1 week, just so she can test me out before she actually has to pay me. And she agreed to it. She loved me, and she kept me on for like 3 months. So it was a 3 month project. And that was like a nice $1,000. Every month that was just additional. So working like 5 to 10 hours a week was just great for me. So that was the first way I started making money online.
And at what point did you decide you're going to do this for yourself?
Yeah. So, okay. So that was nice to say, okay, this thing works, but how do I sustain this? So long story short, it's a long story, but I saw these bloggers online and I found that they were making $100,000 a month. And I'm like, no way. But I kept reading the article and it started to make sense. Like, oh, that actually makes sense. You can make money that way. But blogging was one of my worst, like writing was one of my worst skill sets. So how could I be a blogger? And long story short, I kept Googling ways that moms make money from home, because at this point I'm pregnant with my second child. And so my thought process is that by the time that I have my daughter, I want to quit my job. So I was on the clock was on and the race was on to figure out how can I make money from home by the time that I have my daughter, so I can quit my job and be a stay-at-home mom. So this was the objective, was to figure out how to make money from home. And I had no idea how to do it. So I kept Googling, how do you make money from home? How are moms doing it? And I couldn't find anything. Long story short, I'm continuing to look and I'm like, Google wasn't giving me my answers. And then I just started to, I was like, all right, I need God. God, can you help me? And that's when I started praying. I was like, you should ask God first. But I started praying about my situation. I didn't get my answer right away, but I'll never forget. I woke up with this idea when I was 4 months pregnant that to start a blog for moms like me who are looking for legitimate ways to make money from home from actual moms who are doing it today. And so it was like a God idea, like just the knowing, like, okay, that's it. And so even though that was my problem. I didn't know, how do you find these moms? Like, how do I interview them? I didn't know how to do any of this. But because I said, okay, I'm going to do it, one day I'm in a Facebook group and a podcaster posted in that group, a mom's Facebook group. And she said, I want to interview some stay-at-home moms with a successful business. Put what you do and your email address. And I'm like, oh my gosh, here's all my content right here. And so many moms went in and said what they did. So I emailed them with just the idea. I said, I have this idea. I want to create a website and share your story and other stories to help other people like myself looking for ways to make money. And they said yes. They share all, and this is from a Google Doc. So I send them a Google Doc of the questions that I have for them. They answer back in a Google Doc, even how much they make. And then I started a website with their stories. And my first year, and we can unpack this, but my first year I only made $5,000. But then learning the same strategies, I went back to those bloggers making $100,000 a month. I studied them. And then the very next year, I made over $200,000, and that was like life changing for my family and I. And it all just worked out because I had quit my job and I was just all in, like, this thing has to work. And that is like the start of my whole online journey.
You know, I've been known to binge watch some of these videos of these people who get up and they say, I'm making, and then the zeros are there. I got to be honest, I often wonder, is that just a shtick or is that a real thing? Where does that money come from? Is that Google ads? Is that YouTube ads? Is that, I mean, you're talking to somebody who, and I'm going to be honest on here, affiliate marketing has never taken off for me, no matter how many books I review or authors I have on, right? Like, I'm bearing my soul to you here, right? Like, I have never been able to be successful in that because teachers, I don't know, right? I'm trying to figure that one out. Where does this money come from?
Yes. Okay. Great question. The real answer is you have to promote things that cost a decent amount. So, and I'm going to give you an example. So for example, I interviewed one of the moms, and this is the reason I went all in my blog. Cause I, if I can do this, this can make me a lot of money. So one of the moms I interviewed was a bookkeeper. She took a course, a bookkeeping course, so she could learn how to become a bookkeeper. And so I had interviewed her and I asked the course if I could be an affiliate of theirs. Like, I have the success story from this mom. I'm sharing her story. Can I be an affiliate? So if anyone clicks on this link and purchase your course, I get to earn a commission. And they said, okay. So, and because they're reading an article and there's a link there, they don't even know it's an affiliate link. They just say, oh, that's the course you took. I want to be a bookkeeper too. And so that's how I made my first $500. Someone read my article of the mom who was able to make, she was a mom of nine, and she was able to make like $2,000 a month as a bookkeeper. And that's, you know, she's doing that very part-time. And so long story short, when people will read that article, get inspired and say, I want to do that too, but I don't know how. I need to know how. The how is with the course. So they would click on that and then they would purchase a course. I will earn a commission. So I made $500 in April after I launched my blog. That was the first amount of money that I really made with my blog. And that was all, I'll never forget, I have the text still to my husband, like, oh my gosh, I just got $500. If I keep this up, I can really quit my job. And that was all that I did. That's all I really made before I quit my job. That gave me the proof that this thing could work.
Well, so, as you're starting off, is that just raw Google SEO? Moms who just like you are searching for that? And
great question. No, Pinterest. So one of the things that the bloggers were making, okay, the bloggers are making $100,000 a month. How in the world are you getting that many people to your blog? They were using Pinterest and Google. And at this time, this is around 2018 when I started my blog, Pinterest was booming for new creators. So when I say Pinterest, many people have visited Pinterest. There are like pins on there. And when you click it, it would typically take you to a blog article. By just clicking on my article, I learned how to get people to click. So you would create like things that would make you want to click. So how a mom of nine is making $2,000 a month, something like that. Oh, how? You click, takes you to the blog article to read it. By just reading that article, I have ads throughout. I had joined this network called Mediavine. They're like a middleman between ads and the brands and you. So they do all the negotiation, all that, and they actually go ahead. You work with them to get their ads on your blog. So by just people reading my blog, I'm making money by just simply reading it. They don't have to purchase anything. And the second year, I made like $50,000 just from people reading my articles because I was getting so much traffic from Pinterest and Google. But so Pinterest was the first way I started getting traffic to my blog. But Pinterest, I didn't like that because you'd have to, like, I learned how to get things to go viral. But if it goes viral, it dies. So I couldn't consistently have a business that just based off of things going viral. So that's when I had to learn how to get articles ranked on Google. And that's when this whole SEO thing came up. And I'm like, I did not want to learn that. What in the world is SEO? It was like completely Greek to me. And I just, but I said, that's what I need. I know that was the missing piece. That's what the bloggers that were making $100,000 a month, they were doing Pinterest and Google. So I knew I had to learn it whether I wanted to or not. So long story short, I learned it. I invested in one coaching call that was $75. It took me so much to even pay that $75 because I did not have the money to invest in this thing, but I was all in. So I paid the $75 and understood. I was like, I was missing something. And that call like helped me fill in the missing puzzle piece or whatever.
Imagine.
I put in what I learned from that call, and SEO takes time. Learning how to rank on Google takes time. So I implemented the process. And then the very next year, my blog, my articles were at the very top of the search results. So things that people were searching for a lot, like work from home jobs, I was the first article that was showing up. So by so many people searching for work from home jobs, and then they see my article about work from home jobs, I had a lot of affiliate opportunities in that article. So when people would search for how to become a proofreader or a bookkeeper, there are courses that can help you learn how to do those things to work from home. So when they would click on that, make a purchase, I earn a commission. So that's how, in a nutshell, I was making money.
So let's pause there. Okay. We got the beginning of the story. Now, we agreed before the recording, we're going to nerd out just a little bit, right? You got your website. What's the platform?
WordPress. And the only reason I chose WordPress is because I'm a big believer in just doing what other people are doing, and that's doing well. And so the bloggers, like, they're making $100,000 a month. They were using WordPress. So if they use WordPress, I need to do what they're doing.
And you went to WordPress.com. You went to go find a Bluehost GoDaddy.
I went to WordPress and I started on Bluehost. So Bluehost was a host. They're still a host. And they were the first one that I started with. And I'm not sure why I chose them, but I ended up going to SiteGround after that. And then after SiteGround, I went to Big Scoots. And that's where I landed and where I still am today.
So you've got your Pinterest, you've got your WordPress, you've got these ideas. Is this something that you're looking at as, you know, I've heard a lot of create the content people want. I've heard create the content that means something to you and they will come. Where is the cart and where is the horse in this? I see you shaking your head.
Yeah, that is all about what other people are searching for. My content strategy is what do people want and I'll answer it. So I literally find out what are they even searching for? Because I don't know. So I would use my little research tactics and stuff like to figure out. I'd have these keyword tools to find out what are people searching for. I'll look at my competition, and a competition is literally just saying who else has wrote an article on that. And I ask myself, can I do better? If the answer is yes, then I'm going to write a better article than what's already out there. So I will be higher than what's already out there in the search results. So that was my whole strategy. I would assess myself and ask myself, do I want to write an article on that? Can I do better? If the answer was yes, then I would write it. And I would write one article every single week. And I was like unstoppable.
So here we are. You have your site. What is it? What's the website?
Yeah. So the website is still to this day. It's triedandtruemomjobs.com. And it was basically showing people how moms are making money today. And so the way I did it was I would kind of do bite-sized content. I would do a lot of listicles. And listicles are basically just like people love numbers. So instead of me just saying a mom job you can do, you would rather read an article on 10 of the best mom jobs in 2025. Like you'd rather have options than just me give you one thing. And people love numbers. So when I learned that, all of my articles were basically like what we call listicles. And so I just kept doing these types of articles, making sure they have affiliate links in there, making sure this is something that people would want to click on. And because of that, and it's all about just being helpful. If people are searching for something online, they want an answer. So if I can find a product or a service that can answer their question, they're going to click and make a purchase because they're literally trying to find the answer. So you just give them a reason why they should purchase and they purchase.
Now, the one thing we haven't talked about yet is your promotional stuff. You have the website, you know people are coming in from Pinterest, but after you hit that publish button, where are you putting it? It's one thing to say it goes out on Twitter, it goes out on Facebook, but I'm sure that you're being very targeted as to where you're doing that. I've seen, you know, as you mentioned, somebody's on Facebook asking a question. Whitney goes and writes the blog post and then sends the link to that specific question. What's your process of getting people to your content?
Oh, so it's literally on those platforms. Like I talked about Pinterest. So that's a platform I'm literally creating a pin and I'm posting it to Pinterest. So when someone sees that pin and clicks on it, it drives them to my blog. Same thing with Google, me learning what people are searching for on Google. I will write the article and I will wait it out because it takes time for you to write an article and then for it to show up in the search results. So I just knew the process that blogging is a long game. You don't just post an article and it goes viral. My only promotional efforts were just Pinterest and Google. That was all I was doing. I wasn't doing any social media. I tried to do social media, couldn't keep up with it. And so I just did what was like, less work, more money.
What does the, I'm going to ask you a hard one here, and this is, right. you can bypass this, but what does a perfect blog post look like? I often look at it as there's a heading, there's the lists, or there's, you know, what are we going to learn? I often teach it as if it was a lesson plan. Here's what you're going to do. Here's the meat. And then here's what you learned, and you throw your links in the middle.
Yeah, definitely. I would say definitely the headline is everything. You got to give them a reason why they should listen to yours. It's like, you know, I had an article that was like the best 25 best stay-at-home mom jobs. I do number one and I love it. So you got to create the curiosity. What I love it. What's number one? So it makes you already know what number one is. And then while you're there, if that's not really your thing, where you want to see what else do I have? So it's just really just getting their attention and making them want to stay. And that's the whole thing, especially for the way you make money with ads is that the more they scroll past more ads, the more money you make. So you got to have this content, give like little teasers and say things like, you might like this one, but number 25 really is another good one. or something like that, because you've got to give them a reason to want to continue to read.
So the ad money comes from being on the screen, not from people clicking on the ad.
Right. Literally just passing the ad. It's an called an impression. The more people you can get to your blog, the more money you make.
And at some point, you picked up a video camera. What was that transition?
Yeah, great.
Big smile, by the way, for those listening to the audio version.
So in 2019, the end of 2019, I was getting over 100,000 page views from just Pinterest. Okay. They changed their algorithm in 2019, and I go from 100,000 to like 1,000, and now it's like to nothing. So I had my whole, like, but thank God my whole business that I was, so I was still getting traffic from Google though. So that was good for me. And it was like, I was getting so much traffic from Google. I didn't get really hurt by that traffic with Pinterest, which was a little surprising. But then I felt vulnerable. What if Google changed their algorithm? What would I have? I'd have absolutely nothing. I was literally living off of Google. And so that's when I'm not in a good place because I don't feel comfortable with the success. Yeah, it feels good, but it could die. And it did die. We can get to that too. So I interviewed this guy, Nate O'Brien, on my blog. He's a YouTuber. That's the first time I got introduced to YouTube, really, from someone who actually makes money from there. And one of the questions I asked him was, how much money do you make? And then when he told me that he made over $30,000 in just the month of January, that's when I was like, okay, where's my camera? Because I am not going to allow my, because I had such anxiety about being on camera. My first Zoom call, I threw up because I had that much anxiety. It was just really bad. I had a bad experience earlier with like some news channel trying to interview me, and I was trying to talk professional and stuff like that, and it was just, I bombed. It was horrible. So I said, I'm never gonna be in front of the camera again. I literally said that, and I was true to that until I met Nate O'Brien. I'm like, I think I need to start a YouTube channel. I need something else. I want to stay home with my kids so bad, but I need a flexible income. I need to make good money on my own terms. I can't go back to that. And that's when I picked up the camera. This is during COVID. It was a time where like the world had shut down, and I was like, I can do something new. And I started a YouTube channel.
What was that first video?
Oh, cringe. It is just horrible. I read from a teleprompter too, because I'm reading because I don't know what to say. So I write like I talk. So when you're watching my videos, it looks like I'm talking to you, but I use my hands and stuff, but I'm literally reading. And when I first got started, I was reading, but you could like tell that I was reading and I was just stale. I didn't have a lot of energy. And I was just, I could tell. And I was talking, I had an email list this time, and I told them to let me know what you guys think. I just posted my first YouTube video. And some people were being honest, like, you talk way too fast. And it was like, yeah, that's good. You know, just, but it wasn't good, that great. So.
One of the things that I love about your channel is the consistency. I even just looking through your website, I mean, on the top of your site, I just lost the page, of course, but on the top of your site, it says how to start a blog. You are there if you want to learn how to do that. You are there if you want to work from home as a mom. I mean, you are very laser focused on that, which is obviously part of the success. It's obviously part of how you're creating that traffic and how you're building up your brand. When did you start thinking, not as I'm going to make a video, going to make a website, but start thinking of yourself as a brand? We talk about that a lot on the show here. We call it building your EDU brand. How do you start to put together that? Did you do this by yourself? Are you doing this by yourself? Do you have a team that's doing this? Are you doing the video editing, recording, newslettering? What does the process look like, and how did that evolve over time?
Yeah, no, this is a great question. So I was doing this all on my own for the first maybe 3 years. 3 years. So I just started in 2018. So I was definitely did it on my own beginning. I couldn't afford anybody. So around like when I started my YouTube channel and it started doing well around 2022, I think, or 2023, like this is when I just started getting help. And it's just because I have like some family and they needed some extra cash and stuff like that. So I'm like, well, I can help you out. I'm doing really well and I can try and take some of the stuff off my plate. So that's really the reason I even got help, was because I knew I could help some family members out and it could help me to grow and just get in the mindset of just like, I'm a boss. Like, that's a whole other thing. Like, we don't, people don't talk about, like, now you got to manage people. And that's a whole, that's one thing that I need to really like learn and grow on, especially when you know, like, being delegating is one of my hardest things. I know how to do everything. I've done it for myself. I can do it like that. I don't need to hand it off. But if I really want to make money and like level up, I got to learn how to delegate better. So that's been a struggle and just a learning process. I would just say it's a learning process. But now, so I have a brand manager that helps me with my sponsorships. I have an assistant that helps me with like day-to-day. And then I have an assistant that helps, two assistants that help with other things. And these are really, I have them because it helps me, but I'm also, it became that I was helping them too. So it kind of worked out.
You had mentioned earlier that you're going where the content is, and you had said you've got all these little tools. I look at Ahrefs, I've got a TubeBuddy account. What are some of the things that you're using to try to figure out where that next click is going to come from?
Yeah, great question. So just so you know, so I was hit with a Google update in 2000, like a year or so ago, maybe a year or two ago. Google did this Google content helpful update and it killed my site. So I was getting like so much traffic to my site. I can't even remember how much, but it was a lot of traffic, making me really good money. And then like one day it just... all my articles that were high up in the search results for things people were searching for disappeared. They're just like gone, or like maybe the fifth page where no one looks. And so at this time though, my YouTube channel is doing really well. So I'm not really hit as hard. It doesn't hurt as bad because I'm thankfully pivoted at the right time. And so long story short, I don't work in my blog anymore. I'm like, okay, I'm one person. I need to go where the driver is. So for me, I literally focus only on YouTube. I have not really updated my blog in years, probably now at this point. The last 2 years, I'll say. I probably did one article from that. And I would have to go back to check, but yeah, maybe a year. I'll say a year. I haven't really touched it at all. But I did do an article recently because it coincided with a YouTube video I did. But yeah, so... what I use for it. So what I was using for before Google changed their algorithm and all this stuff, I was using Keywords Everywhere and KW Finder. I love KW Finder. It was one of my favorites because you could literally just see in green, red, or orange. Green is easy. Orange is kind of hard. Red is really hard. So don't even try for that keyword. So it literally told you what you should do, what are good keywords that people are searching for. So I would always look for the green, easy, to take advantage of all that kind of stuff. But now that what I have on YouTube, I use vidIQ, and that helps me find out like outliers. I find out breakout videos. So whenever I see a video that's doing really well for somebody, that's because that's just a topic that they're interested in. So I'm asking myself, well, do I want to do a video on that because that's a trending topic or that's something people are interested in? And if I say yes, then I'll do a video on it. If I say no, nah, I just won't do it. So that's kind of my strategy.
So if you're posting all of these videos on YouTube, why not just make a blog post and embed it and be done with it? And that way your website still has more content coming to it.
Because my only driver is Google. So if Google has changed and I can't even rank on there, I wouldn't get any traffic there. So I'm just doing work for no reason. If my only source of traffic to my blog is Google, and now that has changed, it's just, how am I driving people to my blog articles? And so, yes, I could do an article on that and drive people from my email list there. But also people have changed too. Not everyone that I know, I haven't done all the research, but I do know that some people do prefer to read. But a lot of people have tried to switch over to video. They would rather watch videos. And it's proof of that with my videos. So go ahead.
And I find the same thing. Like for right now, this show goes up on YouTube and I publish it and promote it a certain way. The TeacherCast page has an audio show and has the show notes, but my Jeff website has a written version and the YouTube. So I'm trying to hit one piece of content, like we're recording now, but I'm throwing it in three or four different ways with just trying to figure out where those fish are coming from. You had mentioned a few things that I want to pick up on here. And by the way, all of these links that we're talking about tonight will be in the show notes. So please head on over to teachercast.net/podcast. And of course, if you're watching this on YouTube, all the links are going to be below in the show notes. You had mentioned Google and algorithms and things moving around. You had mentioned Pinterest and algorithms and things moving around. And where's all your blog stuff coming from? You and I have something in common, which is we're both fans and users of Kit, or used to be ConvertKit. I've been with ConvertKit or Kit now for 13 years or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Talk to me a little bit about newsletters. This is something that I love working with teachers on, because Kit, in some respects, is free.
Yeah.
Up to 10,000 users. You can get started. And, you know, a good friend of mine is one of the social media guys for Kit. And he's the one that keeps telling me it is your list. Like, you know, if YouTube goes away, you lost your subscribers. Exactly. We're not going to talk about Twitter, but no one's over there. Like, but your newsletter list is your list. Now, I want to dive into this with you.
Yeah, no,
because I have a lot of theories. I even have a burner Gmail account that I think right now has like 150. Like, it's just where I subscribe to things, right? And of course, a newsletter comes in 100,000 different varieties.
Yeah.
So, Whitney Bonds, talk to me about newsletters. What's your strategy? What's your thoughts? Pretend the audience is just getting into this.
Yeah. So, okay. I actually have a pretty cool hack that I think works really well. So one of the things that I don't want to say struggle with, I don't want to say lazy either. I want to say being creative, is that I figured out that I don't want to think of a subject line. Like, I just don't. So I literally, and I have a really good open rate for this. I have three different lists, and I can explain why. But the one list that's most engagement, I have a 50% open rate, which is really good, because the standard is like 20%.
Yeah.
So I literally, my subject line for every single email I send out is your must read clips for Monday. I usually send them one email a week, Monday, whatever the day is. And that's it. So that's it. And they open it because I always give good value in my emails. So that's really, they see my name and they click. They say, oh, my must read clips for the week. And it's really just three parts. I'll do like, it starts out with me just being personal, giving them like, I think about what just happened this week. What can I share? So some personal touch to it. Like this week, you guys, I was so terrified. I had to speak on stage and this thing. So it just me being vulnerable, and then like them, and they love that stuff. And then the next thing I have is usually like in the next section is I'll say great newsletter today, enjoy. Then the next part under me and my little personal spiel would be my YouTube video, for the, cause I do one YouTube video a week, and then I'll give them like a reason to watch. And then the next little section under that is just humor of the week. I'll find some funny, one funny meme and share that with them. I had one email subscriber tell me that, I literally open your emails because I just look forward to your memes every week. And then I'll give the last little section. It's just, this is a real quick. This is not like a lot. And then my last one is like my tip of the week. So anything, I love listening to podcasts. I love writing down a good nugget, and I'll just share the nugget. So, and that's it. And that's, and so whatever I'm promoting or anything, I have a good list. But I have, so I started this whole email on MailerLite. And then when I changed, I went to ConvertKit when I opened this membership that I was working on, and they only use ConvertKit. So I had to migrate to ConvertKit. But I love ConvertKit now. Like, it's so much better than MailerLite. So I didn't change what was already working with my email list on MailerLite, but I do the same thing now with ConvertKit. And I have another email list with Go High Level, because I opened a mom group on Facebook, and I was working with a coach at this time, and he was using it, and he was just telling me this is a good way to do it. So I have like 7,000 on Go High Level, but I don't even email that often. And that's silly that I don't email it to all the lists. It's kind of the same stuff, but I'm working on that this year to be more, to just get all these people in one place.
I find it interesting, and I would consider it that I study email marketing, right? Like I've written an online, if you look on my sites, I mean, I've written posts and posts of all this stuff because I love this topic and I love the science of it and I love figuring it out. But I still have to ask the question because I get these emails over and over again. They're a mile long. They're unformatted text. Now I'm going, does somebody just not get it? Or do I not get it and that's working? Right? Because you see the email newsletters that come out and they're, I mean, I like colors and the logos are there. Here's a this.
Oh yeah, my stuff is not.
Just vomit full of stuff. Who reads this stuff? Who's doing this stuff? Yeah. What is your thought on all of this stuff? I mean, I sometimes put out newsletters that's, here's my latest show. Like when we're finished here, everybody on my list is going to get, here it is, right? A little couple paragraphs, click. Now convert. Kid, I love this fact. They can now embed Spotify podcasts.
Oh, nice.
Great, right?
Yeah.
That didn't used to be the case. It was just like songs. But recently they fixed the code, so now you can do podcasts. Beautiful. But is anybody really reading newsletters? And I know, and I'll be honest, I put out a thing a couple of days ago where I kind of mentioned something extremely personal. Not going to say what, but extremely personal. And yeah, out of the thousands and thousands of people that I have on my list, like nobody wrote back and said, like, dude, are you okay?
Oh, yeah. No.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, great. So what's your philosophy? Short and sweet. I've often heard one topic. Don't have 900 clicks. Like,
yeah,
this is one topic you're going to do. But even now, like even in the 34 minutes that we've been talking, I got like 10 different newsletters that pop. They're really, really long. Who's reading that stuff? So how do you get people from your newsletter into your funnel, your system, your area?
So I just feel like some people connect. Okay, so I have like maybe, I'm very intentional whose emails I read. I get tons of emails. But there's like maybe four people I actually will consistently read. Like I like Dan Cole a lot, Tim Denning, and Matt Gray. And those are the ones that I always open. And I don't really care what the subject line is. So I do feel like you got to become the person that is just the person that they're always going to open. And then also too, like I get very vulnerable with my list. And like I had an aunt pass away. And I have a big list, but maybe like three people wrote back to say, and I don't look for a reply, but I think it's really nice that some people will actually say, I'm so sorry about your loss or something like that. And so, but I feel like it's just not, people just don't think that you even respond. I think a lot that they think that you're just so big that they don't check your emails or, so I do feel like you also have that too, where people don't feel like that you're going to respond to. But I like to do my emails that, I think storytelling is everything. You just have, it's an art to it. So if you can do it well, like Dan Cole, his emails are getting too long where I just be like, okay, that's enough. But some of them, like he's a great writer. So I'm like, I'm still reading and it's like so much value. I'm always copying and pasting. Like I gotta read this later. But, yeah, I just think it's just the way you do it and just be that person. Like I would say we are one of one. So we're going to have our own tribe. So people are just going to want to listen to what we have to say. And you just have to know how to say it. And sometimes I get long, but most of the time I'll give like maybe like 200 words. I never actually figured out how many words I do, but it's just giving a good personal thing about myself. And then I get into like the quick stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I just think about Dan. He's got really good long emails. And I'm like, okay, this is too much. But because he's a good storyteller, I still always read his articles, emails.
Now, one of the things I love about Kit is you've got sequences, which is, you know, you start at the beginning and then every so often it pops out another one. And I don't know, for me, I'm trying to figure out like, I've always tried to be consistent. Every Monday I drop a new podcast and I try to either get Monday or Tuesday, the newsletter of the episode comes out. But I have been known to put together these sequences of, okay, and if you're an instructional coach or if you're a podcaster or whatever, you've got the drip campaign. But then I realized that stuff's really old and I don't, you know. Like my sequence is 2 or 3 years old and it's, you know, the first email that I'm sending you is from a podcast from 2014. And
I know.
So are you creating new every week, or do you have a drip campaign that's like 50 emails old and that's just what you're on? Cause you know, analytic wise, these things work. Like,
exactly.
How are you, what is that philosophy?
That's a great question. I don't know if you know Tim Denning, but I just hired him as my coach and, or mentor. And, so I had that same question. I'm like, do you do sequences or do you do, coaching? Do you do sequences or do you just write your email fresh every week? And he said he does it fresh every week. He said, because I don't want old, like you said, old stuff going out there. And I thought about that because right now I have sequences and I'm comfortable with that. But I do get like, you want to give them like the right now information. So I think sequences are good for if you have like a freebie, like, okay, great, here it is. But then after that, you get in my funnel for my email and then you just get into my right now world. So I do think, just because I got into this new coaching program with them, I think I'm going to probably stop all my sequences and just be fresh. So I do my email list with MailerLite. I do that fresh anyway. So, but with ConvertKit, that whole email list there on a sequence. But I think I want to take that out and just be fresh with everything. And then but I feel like too, I wrote some really good stuff. So it's just like, I want them to see that. They're not going to see that stuff anymore. So I'm trying to figure out how can I still share that and not just be redundant. I don't know. So I'm trying to figure out.
It's always difficult for me of, am I creating content and that is the newsletter, or am I creating content, which is a blog post, which I then promote on the newsletter. And I'm still trying to figure this one out. And by the way, since you started talking about newsletters, I now have 17 more people because whenever you sign up for a ConvertKit newsletter, it says here's 17 other people. And
Oh, yeah.
So I'm now looking at Tim. And so okay, that throws off two more questions, but let me throw that one at you. Create the blog and promote it, or the newsletter is, because I know there's a lot of cats out there that are forget a blog. And even ConvertKit's philosophy is your creator profile is your website, right?
Yeah, literally, yeah.
Now, you're probably going to tell me just use your newsletter because Google isn't sending people to your website, and why make them click twice? That was also my philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I believe that now. Unfortunately, I mean, blogging is my heart. That's why I'm here. But it just, if you don't have anyone driving your traffic there, you don't need, and I honestly should still drive traffic there because I can make money through ads for people just reading it. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, it comes down to what do you really want to do? I don't want to do both. But it's not that much money I'm losing by just, cause it's not that many people going to click on the link either from your email list too. So it's just better if you just get it right in there. And if you have an offer, do it right there. So yeah.
One of the questions that I bring up a lot is this concept of multi posting. And I remember the rule always used to be, you know, put content A over here and content B there. Don't write one thing and post twice. But now we've got our website. We've got our newsletter. We've got Medium. We've got Substack. We've got...
According to Tim, Medium is dead and no one should write on it.
Well, he's also the one that's promoting it in the front of his book, right? The front of his website. It's right on here. Top writer on Medium, right? But on the top of the page, it says join 101,000 people on Substack. So I'm going, should I just forget the blog completely? Like, go to where the people are and the people are there. Now, as an educator, yes, by the way, whoever's still listening, this is now my therapy session. But if educators, my audience, are not on Substack, I shouldn't be on Substack. That's why I'm not playing there, right? Do you go where the people are? Do you 100%. Just answer?
I can't afford to go in the world. I need to go where the people are.
But you're finding moms are everywhere.
I'm not even getting moms anymore. I shouldn't say that. I'm getting everyone. I went broad when I talk about personal finance. So in all my titles, I just say, how to make money on Canva. It's very general, broad. I'm not talking to one person anymore because I want to be more broad. But you need to be where teachers are. Teachers are on YouTube. Teachers are and Google is becoming, Google is not the place people go anymore. Like TikTok was also like very close to, more people will search on TikTok than Google now. Like this, the world is changing. So you have to follow where things are going. I'm not on TikTok. Well, I'm on TikTok, but my YouTube is where my main thing is. And after YouTube dies, I will go where the next, where the audience is. Like I keep moving. You gotta keep moving. And that's one thing I just say, where are the people at? I need to be where they are. I need to take advantage of these platforms because I need those eyes. That's how I grow my email list. Without it, you know, what are you doing?
Talking today to Whitney Bonds, all about content creation. She is being such an amazing soul going through all these different topics. Whitney, I want to hit one last topic with you. And this is the one that I, you know, this is coming. This is the one that happens all the time. Artificial intelligence. Should we be using it to write our content? Should we be using it to write our blogs? You said that you use a teleprompter. Is AI helping you do any of this? Outline whatnot. I'll give you the floor in probably the next 45 minutes, right?
Yeah.
What is your philosophy on all of this? How do you use it? How do you take advantage of it? Which AI?
Yeah.
Is it making your thumbnails? I could go on.
Yeah.
AI.
Okay, so AI, I use, okay, this is how I use it. I'm still need to just give my own thoughts. I write everything myself and then I take it and then I put it into ChatGPT. So they're just taking what I already wrote, but they're making it better. So I'll literally tell them the intention of what I'm trying to do so they understand. I'm using them like I would use a person. So I'm like, or a person who writes better than me. I want this, I'm trying to convey this message. Here's what I have so far. Read this to see if it works or rework it for the user to be able to better understand it. And I don't have like, I know people are saying like, can you give me a prompt for that? And I don't have a singular prompt. I just know what my intention is. So whatever my intention is, I tell ChatGPT, I use ChatGPT. I write what I want to say, and then I have them revise it and rework it. And it makes me look really good. So I love ChatGPT. I use it almost daily. No, I use it daily. But I write what I want to say and I have them make it sound better. I think it's still so important to understand what you're trying to do and how you're trying to say it. And that's so important. So ChatGPT doesn't do the writing for me. They just help me become a better writer. And that's really, as far as AI, I have an editor, a real person. So he does all my editing for my YouTube channel. As far as using AI, that's really as far as I go using it. It's just really ChatGPT making me a better writer.
And is that also how you craft your YouTube descriptions? Is there a template for that you recommend? Because
no,
everybody's got one.
Sometimes my descriptions I will, but the title, I always say do not use AI for your titles because they're not that advanced. They're just giving you the cookie cutter stuff that they think it's not good. You need to use your brain and understand what works. So what I do is I literally look at other channels in different industries than mine, and then I'll tweak it. So for example, this guy did a video about 8 genius ways to make money from home with ChatGPT. I was doing a video about how to make money on Canva. I had no idea what to title it, but I saw that his video did really well. So I took his same approach and I called it, I think it was 5 genius ways to make money with Canva. And that was it. So I just took his working title in a different topic, but I changed it to mine because if his worked, mine should work. I don't know what works. I look at what's working. And so then, and he had a really good thumbnail. It was Get Rich with ChatGPT. So I changed my thumbnail and I didn't change it. I created a thumbnail. Well, my editor does my thumbnails, but I tell him what to say. And I say, and I show him the inspiration behind what I want to put our own spin to it. And so my thumbnail said, Get Rich with Canva. So I took a concept that was working, but for something different. And that video is doing really well right now. And I do that almost every single time. Like, I don't know what works. I look at what's working. And that is how I decide on my stuff. So
it's an amazing story and congratulations on all the success. I want to ask one more topic here, which is something that we talk about here often on the show, which is productivity.
Yeah.
We talk about Notion. We talk about, you know, all these different types of apps. what's running your system? What's your communication? What do you kind of, I use Notion constantly. I spend probably 2 hours today redesigning my Notion. I know it's one of those things I do, right? What is that? I'm nerd, right? What is that glue that holds all of this together?
Oh, you would hate me. Oh my gosh. I use a Google Doc and many Google Docs and my notes section in my phone. So I have my to-do list. And I say to do the notes is that I write to-do list and then I know exactly what I need to work on today. And then sometimes I'll be like Monday, what I need to work on Tuesday. And I'll just put a little dash next to it. And my favorite thing in the world is to cross something off. I just do realistic things. What can I actually do with the kids and with everything I got going on? What can I do today? And I write it down and I hold myself accountable. And then I just cross it off.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
One of the things that I have learned from you through this conversation, but also in just kind of entering your world with all the content, keep it simple, right? Everything that you're doing from your show notes to, and I'll even go down like your ConvertKit landing pages. You have no idea how many hours I've spent trying to make ConvertKit landing pages look good and look fine and trying to figure out the CSS. And you're like,
oh my gosh, no way.
No. I am lots of time, right?
Done is better than perfect, girl. I've learned that I have such limited time. I can only put so much time towards something and it's got to have good ROI on it.
Yeah, no, my OCD goes off way, way too often. And, you know, I've been doing this by myself, right? Like, it's all right. That's why, right? Like, it's all of those things from what's the Canva graphic to what's the this to that to again, what I now have 175 newsletters that thank you very much, by the way, that I'm now signed up for. And look, I would love to have you come back on, and obviously we can talk about all of the, we didn't even talk about YouTube really, right? But this is the stuff that is important, right? This is the stuff, if you're 48 minutes in, if you're still listening to this, this is the stuff that educators need to know, right?
Yeah.
We have a lot of podcasters that listen. We have a lot of authors that listen. I'm launching my first book next month. Like, how do we put all of these things together? And then how do we get some of those $50,000 checks, right? Because it ain't easy. Yeah. And I firmly believe education is I'm not selling iPhones, right? Like, I'm not selling recipes. Yeah. I'm trying to sell, how does a teacher spend more time with their family? Like, that's kind of the angle that I'm throwing out here. Or how does an instructional coach help their teachers? It's a different business. It's a different world. And I can't say thank you enough and appreciate it and for taking the time today. And, you know, when you do hit that million, please give me a call, right? Well, my friends, that wraps up a fantastic conversation. Of course, we want to say thank you to our friend Whitney for coming on the show and seriously opening up her entire catalog of tips and tricks and strategies on how to not only start your own website, how do you do your marketing, how do you put your newsletter together, and of course, how do you build a very successful newsletter and YouTube channel. If you guys are interested in any of this information, you can head on over to teachercast.net. We have a lot of this information over on our Build Your EDU brand site. And of course, you can check out all the stuff by subscribing to us over on teachercast.net/newsletter. So that wraps up this episode of the Jeff Bradbury Show. On behalf of Whitney and everybody here on TeacherCast, my name is Jeff Bradbury, reminding you guys to keep up the great work in your classrooms and continue sharing your passions with your students.
You've been listening to the TeacherCast Educational Network, hosted by Jeff Bradbury. Please reach out to the show with all of your questions on Twitter at TeacherCast or online at www.teachercast.net. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. And please take a moment to write a review in the App Store.